Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey. I'm in Peoria getting ready I'll watch most of this game. Padres, Diamondbacks, as we're taping this, that game's about to start. But Jay Posner, my boss, sports editor of the Union Tribune, back in San Diego. Jay, it feels to me like spring training can actually begin. In the last couple days, I would say, after Manny Machado was officially in camp.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting that we've had a couple days now without any real Manny Machado stories or news or anything like that. And they're just, I know that there's nothing going on. I mean, I'm sure he's practicing every day and just getting ready to get into games. And in the meantime, you know, there's other things to focus on. I know today Eric Hosmer and Ian Kinsler are playing for the first time. And so I know you're planning something on that we'll have on the website probably around the same time that this podcast goes up. But, you know, there's been other things as well. And the big story was Chris Paddock, you know, maybe their top pitching prospect. At least the closest to the big leagues, it seems like.
Indeed. Pitched on Tuesday, and Jay, we have a special treat because took a little bit of audio from an interview with Chris Paddock, and we're going to play portions of that and sort of explain it. But really, when you hear from Chris Paddock, there's not a whole lot of explaining that needs to be done. Chris Paddock explains everything. So we'll talk about his start, and then we'll hear from Chris Paddock, and I promise you want to listen to the entire thing. Am I right, Jay?
You are. You sent it to me earlier, and it's really interesting to hear, and especially the part where he just, I think one of the clips is like 3 minutes where he just goes, he talks and talks one question, and it's, you know, I thought that only happened with Bill Walton.
This isn't quite that out there.
No, it's not out there at all. It's very
it's crazy. He meanders, yet he's entirely focused. It's crazy. I think, hey, let's get right into it, Jay. We can overhype things, and I want to make sure that we talk about another kid, Nick Margavicius, who pitched for the Padres the day before Chris Paddock. But here's Chris Paddock, the number 5 prospect in the Padres system, the number 2 pitching prospect behind Mackenzie Gore, and he makes his spring training debut. 2 innings against the Cubs, 1 hit. It was an opposite field sort of sawed off a slicing double by a pretty legitimate hitter and Mike Moustakas. Other than that, 4 strikeouts. Kid was, I mean, 1 pitch was not near the zone. It was truly remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it in the office here, and it's one of those situations where you're watching a guy and you keep telling yourself, you know, it's February. He hasn't pitched above what, double A?
Yep.
At this point, and he's coming off Tommy John surgery not that long ago, but it's hard not to get excited when you like seeing good baseball, as I know we both do. It's hard not getting excited when you see a prospect like this, you know, whether it's on any team, and you know, when it's on the team that you see all the time, it makes it a little more exciting. But even the first at bat, you know, I mean, the fastball that he struck out the leadoff hitter on, there's not many guys that are going to hit that pitch. I mean, it was just riding in on the guy, and at 94 or 95, whatever it was, and it was just very impressive. I mean, the couple curveballs he threw, a couple changeups he threw, it was, for 2 innings in February, it was all you could hope for from someone like that. And then you throw in, just to, you know, vary off for a second, you throw in a home run from Tatis in the same game. And it's like, okay, well, maybe these guys are going to be legit, and maybe some of these prospects where we've seen so many prospects that come up before and been hyped and overhyped and not lived up to expectations, you can't help but think maybe these guys are different.
Yeah, that pitch to Fernando Tatis was a minor league pitch by a major league pitcher. But the pitch before that, Fernando Tatis laid off, and that's something that they're looking for from this kid. And then I don't care where the pitch was. Not many people hit a line drive home run like that. There was no way that thing was a home run, and it was. So yes, absolutely legitimate. Chris Paddock, that fastball, it rides, it darts. The changeup is baffling. It looks exactly like a fastball. And then the curve, a pitch you didn't have last year. That's the knock on him, and it's legit. It's not great, but it's a 23-year-old who's just learning this pitch, and you know, when you got a fastball and a change like that, you can work with that curve. So that's legit.
I was just going to say, I thought he also looked for 2 innings, and I thought he looked composed. I thought the umpire, it was a typical umpire in midseason form with no idea where the strike zone was. I thought he got squeezed on several pitches, and I think even Hedges mentioned that after the game, what he called a big league zone. So what does that mean? What does that mean? It's a crappy zone where the umpire has no idea what he's doing or what, but whatever that means. But he definitely got squeezed on some pitches, but it didn't look like it bothered him. You know, he made a dumb play where he threw the ball to first base where nobody was there. He got victimized by an error, but he came right back and struck out the last guy of the outing. So, you know, he didn't fall apart when things started to go against him there in the second inning. And I think that was something else to take out of that outing.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because it really is. It's like I've sort of now become accustomed to it. But I'm really glad you brought it up because that showed what they've been saying about him. And it really is the poise, and he's very unique. And here's the thing about it. And as we go to listen to him right now, you're going to hear it. He's real. Like I said, these meandering answers are also somehow at the same time focused. Here, we'll play the shorter one for you. I believe it's only like a minute and a half. And the question is about his expectations of making the rotation.
You know, I'll be honest with you. This is my first big league spring training, but I'm going to give the Padres front office the hardest decision they're going to have to make. I know that's, you know, something that every guy should say because their goal is to get to the big leagues, and there is no excuse on why I can't make the roster. I know that there's some business side of things that I can't control, but I'm, like you said, my goal is to break with the 25-man roster this season. Why? Because I've worked my butt off this whole, you know, these past 20 years of my life to get to where I want to be on a big league roster. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to do too much. I'm going to go out there and do what got me here, continue to work hard, continue to show up to the field early, you know, continue to show up in my suits on my start days, just things that I can control. And that's, you know, being myself and not changing for anything. You know, but we have a great group of guys. You know, those starting five guys, they can go to anybody. But I'm gonna, you know, I wouldn't say I'm headhunting this spring training because that's, you know, that's not what I'm trying to do. But you know, we're all competing for a spot, and it's wide open right now. And I'm really looking forward to getting these games on the road and just learning from the guys. You know, being able to have a winning atmosphere in San Diego. And we have everything we need coming up through this system.
All right, Jay. By the way, that was taken from an interview that Annie Heilbrun did for a video that's on the website. I could have chosen from the interviews I did, and sound was much better. And quite honestly, when I was listening to this, it just made me laugh. Jay, the kid gives you so much detail.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you don't normally expect that from, especially these days. I mean, I think athletes seem to be more programmed than ever in terms of what they're saying, and there's some cliches when he talks, but I don't know, they sounded a little more interesting from him, and I think people will hear that even more when you play the longer clip.
Yeah, he believes in the things he's saying, even when it's at the end of the day or whatever else he's throwing out. Honestly, everybody you talk to, he lives these things. Now, here is it's about twice as long. And the question was about his rehab. And as we know, in August of 2016, he had Tommy John surgery. And, you know, he acknowledged that it was very tough. And believe me, I mean, rehab, it's one thing you get, Jay, covering professional athletes, is rehabbing a major injury is the worst thing they ever go through in their career. It's lonely, it's hard, and Tommy John is a long one. It's 18 to 22 months of not actually competing, and he talks about that.
You know, it was just the group of guys. We had such a good rehab group in 2016 and 2017. You know, it was almost like we were excited to go to the field. You know, and rehab is a very, you know, I wouldn't say desperate, but it's a very hard time in your life to, you know, you're not getting paid, you know, you're away from all your buddies, you're away from all the coaches and players, and you're not competing, you know, and it's Monday through Saturday, coming in Arizona in 110-degree heat in the summer, 115 degrees, there's just so many variables that go with it. You know, it's almost like a routine that you come to the field, do your work, and go home. Come to the field, do your work, go home. Instead of, you know, coming to the field, hanging out with the guys, staying long, competing, you know, winning, all those. I mean, there's just so many factors that bring to the table. But at the same time, we had such a cool rehab group, and it made it fun. You know, we did stuff outside of baseball together, cooking dinner, going to the pool, whatever it was. You know, we made the best time of what we had together, and I think that that's very important. You know, and what got me through, you know, rehab itself. Obviously, the family came out a few times, FaceTiming the family, you know. All those little things kept me going. You know, days that I really was beat up mentally, why me? Why did I have a bad day of throwing? You know, what's going to happen next? You know, why am I sore? You know, it's something you can't explain until you go through it. But another thing that kept me driven is, it's almost like I was off the radar. You know, I was boosting myself up, you know, those first 2 years of pro ball. You know, in 2015, I had a good year with the Marlins, and then I get traded in 2016, and I'm still competing and winning games and honestly having a really good year, and then all of a sudden, that just stops.
Yeah.
Stops at your feet. You have no control of what just happened. The first thing you're going to think is negative. You know, and I just told myself to look at the positive and grow from here, move on, and get better every day, because I guarantee you I'd much rather do rehab than work a 9-to-5 job, because whenever you step away and hang up the cleats from this sport, any sport, I feel like, you know, if you're going to look back saying, what should I have done differently, or why didn't I do this? You know, and I don't want any whys in my career, you know. Like I said, some days are going to be better than others. But at the end of the day, huge shout-out to the rehab guys, you know, and Ben Fritz and Tanner Fields, you know, all those guys. It was just – it was really cool to, you know, just show up to the field. You know, whether some guys were going through hard times, you know, this was our space to kind of clear our heads. You know, whether it was staying 30 minutes after and talking to somebody, whatever it was, it's one of those things that's hard to explain until you go through it. But I'm glad I went through it. I'm glad I got it finished. And, you know, now I can just about, you know, face anything mentally that's in front of me by far.
Okay, Jay, as a quick rehab or a recap of his rehab, he's talking about rehabbing with the other guys, about the difficulty of it. He talks about his family, good group of guys, more on the rehab, then, you know, what drives him now. I think some more about some teammates, the injury, about staying positive. And then, you know, asks himself his own question, then he answers it. The kid has got an old – he demonstrates there at the end, he's got an old soul. I mean – at the end, got to go back and thank the rehab guys.
Right.
I don't know. I found it fascinating.
No, I did too, and I think that's – I hope that's the kind of stuff, you know, that we can bring people even more of this year on here, is some of the sound, so that people can hear, you know, from the players and coaches themselves and what they're thinking and what you're hearing from these guys, you know, out there every day. So let me ask you this now. To sound like one of the color commentators that I always make fun of, I'll tell you one thing. What's the plan now? What can we expect from Chris Paddock? I mean, is he gonna pitch every 5 days now in spring training? Every 6 days? Will he go three innings next time? Lay out for me and for everyone else. What can we look for over the next few weeks from Chris Paddock?
I think it might be a little bit varied, as in maybe an extra day, maybe an even more strict pitch count, because whenever Chris Paddock does come up, and the Padres have something of a built-in excuse, if they were to keep Chris Paddock down at the beginning of the season, like let's just say that it is apparent to everyone on the planet that he should be up and be in their rotation at the start of the season. Well, we're talking about a kid who's probably going to top out 130 innings, maybe more, up to 150, if they're, you know, the stress on his arm they don't determine was that great. But because his, you know, his first major league season, just 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery, or 3 years removed and a year, you know, one season removed, that there will be limits on this kid's workload. So they could have a an excuse to not bring him up, rather other than just manipulating his service time and keeping him under their control for longer. And so they will do the same thing in the spring. And so, you know, but yes, next time I would imagine the goal would be three innings. They certainly are not going to mess around with Chris Paddock, but along the same hole, two, then three, then four, then five. But look, they've got time. Most of these guys, I think Chris Paddock is early enough for like six outings, and then maybe Chris Paddock only gets five. Of course, that could depend on, you know, what he looks like. Does he continue to do this? I don't think there's any indication that he wouldn't continue to pitch well. But it's fascinating what's going to happen with him, what's going to happen with Chris Paddock, and I don't want to undersell Logan Allen, who the lefty, who after Paddock and Michelle Baez and Adrian Morahone, Logan Allen, your fifth-ranked pitching prospect, he's up. I would expect him to be with the Padres sooner than later, and he pitches on Thursday here. Actually, it's up in Surprise, just down the road.
I was just going to ask you, when can we look to see him? So that'll be another one that I can't wait to watch, yeah. Although I don't even know if I'll be able to watch it, but that's another story. We'll count on you.
He's a baller, man. He's more fun loving, you know, and all that. But man, I've seen it. I'm not even going to write about it today. Batting practice, live batting practice. He threw to Manny Machado and Franmil Reyes, and not to ruin what I'm going to write, but they hit him hard. And the next time he came back and got them both out with a really impressive changeup, both of them. And it was the interaction between them was good stuff. But he's a baller, if I could say what the kids say. Nick Margavicius, and I'm still, I believe I'm mispronouncing it. Got to learn it. Good kid. Silent assassin, I would say. He's a pitcher. He's a crafty lefty. All those things. A couple of the coaches were talking about him early in spring, but not giving me any hint whatsoever that he was going to go out against Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, Javier Baez, and throw two hitless innings. They believe this kid's for real. And what a sign that maybe, just maybe, maybe gets blown up next time. But nobody's talking about this kid, and he comes and he makes a start in spring training against a legit lineup and throws two hitless innings.
Yeah, and it gives us something else to look forward to, because as we saw with Jose Castillo, I mean, pitchers are going to get hurt. You need to have as many prospects as you can at that position more than any other. So if this is a guy that kind of, you know, sneaks up on some people, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to think that he would be another guy that they could throw into their mix of potential starters down the road. I mean, it's not like there isn't room for starters on this roster at this point, you know, not just this year, but going forward. I mean, there's not a vet, as we've talked about before, not a veteran rotation that anybody needs to crack. I mean, almost every spot, except for maybe Joey Lucchesi's and maybe Eric Lauer's at the start of the year, all these other spots are open. So I think all these guys have got to be thinking, hey, if I go out there and show well in the spring, you know, maybe I get a shot to, you know, to pitch early in the year against the Giants or the D-backs, and, you know, the teams that those are the teams they play the most the first couple of weeks of the season. So I think it's all just part of why this spring training is more interesting than any other, and obviously got even more interesting with the Machado signing. When do we look to see him? Will he be playing this weekend, do you think?
I believe it'll be Saturday when the game is on Fox Sports San Diego. Now, I also fully believe that if Andy Green, the coaches, A.J. Preller, don't believe that that's the right day, then they won't do it. I do. Right. I believe that. I mean, I've seen him back there taking grounders on his own from Glenn Hoffman. They're slowly accelerating the difficulty. I shouldn't say that. They were going pretty hard at him the other day. But, you know, they're getting him into, you know, game ready. And, you know, they waited 7 days last year for Eric Hosmer. And Andy said this morning they could have waited longer, and that might have even been better for Eric. You know, look, the guy's really good. He's going to be ready for the season. I don't know what kind of season he's going to have, but he's going to be ready for the season physically. So, but I am expecting it'll be Saturday.
Well, and even Saturday, I mean, that's what, March 2nd, and the season starts on the 28th. So you're looking at almost 4 weeks for him to get plenty.
A lot of time to manipulate. Could he play more than usual?
Right.
You know, if he starts later than that. But I've been convinced it's Saturday, but I'll tell you that I honestly believe that if they think, hey, you know what, another day for whatever reason, Maybe he started to feel a little something and, you know, just sore or whatever. Then they'll hold him out. But it makes a lot of sense, huh, to show him to the folks back home.
Sure, and it also makes sense to skip Friday because they play at the Dodgers that day.
Let's just be clear, that night, Jay.
That night, I'm sorry. I wouldn't think that would be a place to put him out for the first time. But no, obviously, Saturday game against the Giants, I'm sure they'll have a good crowd on hand in Arizona. It's on TV back here, so that does make a lot of sense.
I'll leave it with you. Talked about it's more exciting, and then it's spring. And I'll tell you, last year there was zero expectation, and I always am respectful of the fact that everybody in uniform wants to win every time they go out. They're always respectful of that. But these guys knew, right? And there wasn't a lot of talk about winning. There was a talk about playing hard and getting better individually, learning how to do certain things, but not a lot of talk about winning. And that was very unique. The spring's the time when, everybody thinks they can win. Well, even before Manny Machado signed, these guys were talking differently. Maybe not like promising they were going to be in the playoffs, but talking like it and talking like, forget this getting better stuff. We're past that now. Hunter Renfro, Austin Hedges, Mil Reyes, these guys learned how to play. It's time for us to figure out how to win. Now Manny Machado comes, guys are walking out with their chest puffed out, in Eric Hosmer's words, and they honestly believe that they can contend. I honestly believe that. I've gone through a lot of spring training BS, and I've gladly lapped it up because that's the only time you could ever be optimistic about the Padres in the last decade,
right,
and most of the last 50 years. But they honestly believe it. We will see, won't we? And a big part of it is going to be the pitching. I'll be surprised if AJ Preller makes a move just for a starter, because if he can pull off a move for a guy he can slide at the top of his rotation, or second or third, then maybe he does that. So there's a lot to be determined. I also think they're probably going to move an outfielder before the end of the spring, or that they will try to. Lots to still happen.
And I think one interesting thing, and I just happened to be looking at the schedule for some spring stuff, and I looked down at the regular season schedule as well, is it's not an imposing schedule to start the season. It seems like sometimes,
unlike last year.
It seems like sometimes, and last year was part of it, they get buried early, and we go through this whole, oh, geez, it's another April where they're, having a poor season. But, you start with a 7-game homestand against the Giants and Diamondbacks. That's two teams that most people would probably put below the Padres at this point, or at least at the same level of the Padres. It's kind of like the Dodgers and Rockies are a cut above in the division right now. I think most people would agree. Then you've got the next three teams. Now, you will have to see Madison Bumgarner in the opener. You will have to see Zach Greinke here at Petco in the second series against Arizona. But that's 7 games, and then they go to St. Louis, San Francisco, and Arizona. So you're looking at 7 games against the Giants, 7 games against the Diamondbacks, and 3 against the Cardinals in the first, 17 games. That's not something where people should go, oh, no, they have to play the Dodgers and the Brewers or something like that, and they're in the Rockies, and they're going to get buried. So that might be something, again, where we can look at and say, hey, maybe if they can get off to a good start, we've said that for so long, they can just get off to a good start, that I think that will change people's opinions of how they might be. And it might change their own opinions, too. I mean, I'm not going to say they have momentum. My feelings about momentum. But it will. But I do think momentum is different than confidence. It will give them some confidence. I did have to laugh last night watching a basketball game, I think it was, and the announcer said, boy, this team had some momentum there for a while, and then they didn't. Well, that's exactly what I've been saying all this time. But confidence is different, and I do think if the schedule sets up for these guys to get off to a decent start, get some confidence, and see what happens. I still don't think this roster, as it looks right now on paper, can contend to be anything more than, let's say, a 500 team. That would still be a huge step up, in my opinion. 15 going 500 is a 15-game improvement over last year. But hey, it's baseball, and at this time last year, there probably weren't people who thought the Rockies were going to win 90 games either. So, I don't want to discourage anyone at this point from believing in this team.
And
I don't, but I also don't think we should be sitting here saying, "Oh yeah, this team believes it can contend." That doesn't mean it's going to, or that people should expect it to.
Absolutely, and yeah, to be clear that. Like, it just feels different in spring training, as it should, since they knew they were going to be bad, and they were even worse last year. It should feel different. It actually feels like a real team now. I'm somewhere in between. It's certainly not a developmental season, as you might have thought that it was going to be another one of those. But I'm in between that and them actually being a contender. I think it's probably safe after 10 or 11 years, whatever it's been. That's the sort of thing the Padres have to prove to us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll do this again next week at the latest, Jay. Just not wait too long. All
no,
right?
No. I don't know if we'll be able to do another one before the end of the week, but certainly at the start of next week, we'll get back on and we'll see what happened over the weekend and discuss that. And it should be interesting. We'll have Machado's debut hopefully by then. We'll have maybe another schedule for Chris Paddock, and who knows who else might catch your eye during the next several games.
Who knows? All right, talk to you later.
Thanks, Kevin.